does it mean to have the Spirit of God? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Does the manner of our lives reflect the truth of who we are? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a powerful message on the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. It's a message we all need to hear. So let's listen as Pastor Jim brings us the light of the Word.
Galatians 5, beginning in the 13th verse. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Oh, Father, Lord, as we continue in this text, we just want to lift it up to you this morning. Lord, our whole purpose in being here today is to worship you, to glorify you, to make much of your holy and majestic name. Father, as we worship, I pray that by your Spirit, you touch the hearts of those who are here, that you move the hearts of those who are here to your glory. And Father, I pray, I beg that you would use this sinner to speak your words, that all that comes out from this pulpit, through this microphone, through this mouth, would be that which honors and glorifies your holy name. And I thank you, Lord, that you would take such a sinner and give me grace. To you be all glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, last week we talked some about the freedom, and we talked about the need of repentance. We talked about those things where we are pulled this way and that from and by our sin. And this week we're going to pick up in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What is it to walk by the Spirit? How do we walk by the Spirit? There's a lot of misunderstanding in what we call churches about what the Spirit is to begin with, and how the Spirit acts and what the Spirit does within our life. So by the Spirit, we know the very simple, basic things that he's talking here about the Holy Spirit of God, right? Walk by the Spirit, walk by the Holy Spirit leading in your life. Why is it so easy for us to walk in the flesh instead of the Spirit? Why is it that though we desire, as Paul would say, to do what is right, we do what is wrong? Why is it that we have this fight going on in the flesh? I believe with all my heart that a big part of the reason for that is that we don't truly trust God to surrender all of ourselves to Him. And so we go kicking and fighting. We go, but we go kicking and fighting. And by kicking and fighting, I mean we're constantly trying to turn back. We're constantly trying to have those same worldly pleasures that brought damnation upon us to begin with and condemnation upon us. In Romans 8, verse 4, it says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So to walk according to the Spirit, the very first thing we need is the Spirit, isn't it? How do you walk according to the Spirit of God to the Holy Spirit if you do not have the Holy Spirit? Folks, I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people who pretend to have the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people who profess the Holy Spirit and live like the devil. So you tell me, what are they walking in? They're walking in the flesh, aren't they? According to those things of this world. Romans 13 and verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like putting on the whole armor of God, isn't it? Do you physically go and get a piece of armor to put on the armor of God? Of course not. The armor of God is us falling into, and I use that word correctly, falling into those things of the Spirit, where we fall into the trust of God. We know that it is hard to trust God when we're constantly looking at ourselves. What is it that draws us away into sin? It's our own desires and our own pleasures, isn't it? Those things that we think will fulfill us, and they do not. We have this list of ways that people behave, starting in verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, it says. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. That wasn't a complete list, by the way. That wasn't every possible sin. That was to give us an idea. And look at this list. These are all things that come from the dark desires within our heart for this world. We want those things that the world makes important. And I think it's kind of ironic when we see today's world, how sexual immorality and impurity are right at the beginning of that list. I read a sermon a few years back. I wish I could find it. I've looked for it again several times. It was in a little booklet that I had. One of these days, I won't be looking for it, and I'll find it. This sermon talked about how women's dress has changed so much and how women are seducing men with the change of their dress. Now, this sermon was written in the mid-1800s, or excuse me, 1700s, and he was talking about they were showing their wrist and their neck. And by allowing their wrists to be seen and their neck to be seen, but what it really is, even when a woman is dressed modestly, men are drawn to imagine what isn't there to see because of the desires of our heart, the darkness of our heart, the foolishness of our heart. We're drawn to those things. As those who walk in Christ, though, we should be different, shouldn't we? We should be different. But that list doesn't stop with just those sexual things. It goes on to idolatry. What is the very first two commandments? Number one, there is but one God, and you shall love him with all your heart, mind, soul, right? And number two, you shall have no graven images before him. Or in other words, you shall build no idols. But we are idol-building people. We are constantly building idols. Our homes. I see people make idols out of their family. I see people make idols out of their family where they put family before God. They put family before the worship of God. They make family more important than God. Now make no mistake, family is important. And family is very high on the priority list of importance, isn't it? But it is not above God. If the commandment from God is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, strength, how does that allow us to put him under anything? See, these are all things that come out of the darkness of our heart. And we build idolatry and idols out of sexuality. And it's not just men, folks. It's women, too. Survey I read, I guess it's probably been a year ago, said that over 40% of women in church watch pornography. 40%. Folks, we make idols out of everything, including sex. One of the reasons that we have so many abortions is because sex has become an idol, and we believe that there will be satisfaction in that idol. But what comes is what the world calls an unwanted pregnancy. And since it doesn't provide what they are seeking, they're willing to break the sixth commandment and kill it. The list goes on. I want to go through these, folks, because sometimes we read a list like this and we think, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. The next one is sorcery. What would fall under sorcery? I remember the first time I went to Minnesota for a John Piper conference, Desiring God conference. I shared a room with Tony Mattia, and right outside of our window at the hotel where the conference was this big flashing neon sign that said, psychic readings. I remember a few years ago in this very church, a group of people getting very angry and upset with me because I said something against sorcery, against astrology, against witchcraft. Oh, we can add in there a part of what I was talking about that day was vampires. That was the stake that killed the pastor, so to speak. They were upset. They were upset. And there was a group of people that left this church over that. I don't know about you, but I don't know that there's a week that goes by that somebody doesn't tell me about their horoscope. I'm like, you know what the Bible says about that stuff? Folks, we get into these things. Let's move to the next group. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. These come from the true idol in our heart, which is us. Somebody says or does something that affects the true idol in my life, and I'm ready to fight. Or we see something that somebody else has, and we become jealous by it. When I first started preaching, and I'd go to these conferences, and pastors would ask, well, how many do you have attending your church? When I first started preaching, I felt a little odd about that because I didn't have very many. And I had enough pride in me that was still alive and well that I hated to tell them that I had 18 people at the church. But as time went on and I realized what was really happening was that these people wanted somebody that they could be better than because they were jealous of those who had more. So my response kind of became, well, we usually have at least 17 at the conferences anyway, because my value and my worth does not come by how many people are sitting here listening. But you see, that jealousy creates strife. I recently was talking to a woman who had gotten into an argument with her sister almost 60 years ago. And her sister just passed away, and they had not repaired the argument. The argument, they were teenagers, and they both liked the same boy. And jealousy divided two sisters from talking to each other for the rest of their life. Folks, that's sad, isn't it? And that is not uncommon. You see, these things that are in this list of sin, quite frankly, these things should be bad or sad to the world, let alone to us who belong to Christ. We have rivalries because of jealousy. We have dissensions because of anger and divisions because of anger. How many churches split because of this little list that we're going through right this second? I heard a story years ago. There was a man who was shipwrecked on an island. Guess it wasn't Gilligan's Island because he was by himself. When he was rescued, there were several little buildings that he had built, and one of them had a name on it that said, First Baptist Church. Another one had a name on it that said Second Baptist Church. And they asked him, why'd you build two churches? He said, because I had a problem with the people in that one. Well, folks, we can find all sorts of reasons to divide, can't we? We have these divisions because we truly have become our own idol. Envy is another one on that list. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, there comes a time when we need to walk in the Spirit or admit we don't have the Spirit. There comes a time. I am so saddened by the number of people who spend their life living like the world, thinking that they are inheriting the kingdom of God. And you want to know why they think that? Because well-meaning pastors and well-meaning people in the pews tell them they're okay. Oh, you're okay. No worries. You did say that prayer, didn't you? No worries. But folks, that's the world that we live in. And that's what the American church looks like, because we are filled with these things that Paul says we ought not to be filled with, because we do not walk in the Spirit. We walk in our flesh because we love us more than God. And those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you know, when those people die, they have some pastor come up. There was one in particular. Our son worked for a guy. He did some odd and end jobs for him and helped him make lures and some different things. And Cynthia and I went to this man's funeral, and the pastor said that he had a special relationship with God. He didn't go to church. He didn't read the Bible. He had helped the church, but he didn't have anything to do with anything that has anything to do with God. But he had a special relationship. So because of that special relationship, God was going to receive him into, at that particular funeral, when that particular preacher said those particular words, my wife put her hand on my leg, keep my mouth shut. It's amazing to me, when we read through verse by verse through God's word, how often this stuff comes up. Constantly. These things are coming up constantly. These suggestions, no, these commandments are coming up so that we can see ourselves in the mirror of the law and truly surrender our flesh under grace. You know what someone who walks in the Spirit looks like? Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Somebody who walks in love. If you walk in love, how can you hate your neighbor? What is it 1 John says? If you say you love me and you hate your neighbor, you're a liar. Folks, we need to walk in these things. We need to walk in love. Unfortunately, back to our American church and the American people, they don't know what love is. They think that love means you're okay with everything somebody does. I think that's hatred. If you are okay with the way that people behave, that's sending them to hell, that is hatred. That's not love. Love says, I care enough about you that I'm willing to sacrifice my relationship with you to tell you the truth so that you don't go to hell. That's love. But what do? So it's okay. What we need to tell them is no sin is okay, but God gives his grace to those who are his. And though it is not okay, it is washed clean. He has removed it. And if he has removed it because he has saved you, then you have nothing to hold over your own head any longer. That's the message we need to give them. What is it that Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery? Go and sin no more. That's the message in Christ. He has forgiven us. Go and sin no more. But that's love. Because to tell them that it's okay leaves them exactly where they were. They walk out the door knowing it wasn't okay. They need grace. They need God's grace poured directly from him or through us. That's love. We need to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. We need to walk in joy. How do you walk in joy? You know, Paul was joyful in the Lord. No matter what his circumstances, no matter what his circumstances, he was joyful in the Lord. We can do that, can't we? Not in our strength, but in the strength of the Spirit, because we're walking in the Spirit. We can do that. Peace. You know, I love my mother with all my heart, and my mother is the most worrisome person I have ever known in my life. I mean, she worries about things that I don't even think about. We had a lot of time together this week as my brother's been in the hospital, and I've been traveling back and forth to Topeka with her some. And, oh, I tell you, I felt bad because she has so many things she's concerned about, so many worries. Folks, we need peace. We walk in peace. If we can trust God, then we don't have to worry, right? So if we walk in the Spirit, that means we don't have to worry. Well, what if things turn out different than I want them to? Praise be to God. There's a lot of things in my life that turned out different than I wanted it to. And I'm pretty thankful for most of those things, because what I wanted wasn't what I needed, and it wasn't what was best. We need to walk in the Spirit in patience. Where do I struggle the most with the fruit of the Spirit? I got to tell you, it's right there. It's in patience. After running companies and stores for so many years, I want it now. I don't have patience. I want to see things done now. The greatest place that God started teaching me patience, quite frankly, is this old building. We moved in here and it has so many needs. 13 years later, it has so many needs. But as he sees fit, those needs get filled, don't they? As he sees fit in his timing, those things come. You would think that these next two would be natural for a Christian, but they're not natural, because natural is the flesh. Kindness and goodness, they're not the same thing. They're two different things. Have you ever met somebody who was a churchgoer that was there every time the doors were open and mean as can be? I tell you, it's ugly that way. It's horrible. But they're out there, and in fact, they're in most churches. They're flat mean. There's no kindness in them because they don't walk in the Spirit. They walk in the flesh. And because of some of these things we talked about earlier, instead of joy coming out in kindness, their bitterness comes out in anger. Are we kind to people? Again, I, with Paul, am a chief of sinners. Sometimes because of my lack of patience, the words that come out of my mouth aren't as kind as they should be. What has changed is it doesn't happen very often anymore, though it does happen. What has changed is it immediately, by the Spirit, I know that that is sin and that I need to change it. How about you? How about you? Does the Spirit tell you immediately that that wasn't something you should have done? If you're walking by the Spirit, he'll tell you immediately. Next one is faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. There's a picture here. There's a whole sermon here in just faithfulness. We are to walk in such a way that everything in our life is about the glory of God. And we all agree that we were created for the glory of God. And yet, we live for the glory of ourselves. We need to live for the glory of God. And that needs to show in our faithfulness. Because if you are not faithful to God and to His Word, I didn't say perfect, I said faithful. But if you are not faithful to Him and His Word, then I'm here to tell you, you probably do not know Him. And you are lost. And with this fruit comes a gentleness about you. From my days in management to being saved, being called to the ministry, God had a great work to do in gentleness. And the only way these things happen is by the Spirit. This last fruit that he gives here is self-control. Self-control is the Spirit control, period. When you sin, when you do something you know you should not do, before you do it, the Spirit is already convicting you, isn't he? I know I shouldn't do this. And by the Spirit, you will have the self-control to say, and I'm not going to. According to the flesh, you're going to go with what is natural, with what is sin. Paul says of these things, these fruits of the Spirit, there's no law against them. There is no law of God against any of these things. He goes on in verse 24 and he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Have you crucified the flesh? There's many things that God does that I do not understand. For me, and probably for you, it would be a lot easier if God said, okay, I'm going to save you and I'm just going to take away all those bad desires. Wouldn't that be nice? It isn't happening, is it? Why isn't it happening? Why doesn't he take that? So that we can show the world that we are different. Not because he has taken it all away from us. Jesus himself faced all those things, didn't he? But because of Christ in us. Pick up your cross and follow me. Daily, pick up your cross and follow me. Crucify the flesh daily, the fleshly desires daily, because they arise in all of us on a regular basis. Romans 7:5. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. What is it that we receive from the flesh? Death. Spiritual death. Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We know that it was crucified with him. This is Paul writing both of these things. It is crucified. Let it stay dead. One of the things I had to learn as a pastor was not to get in the way of the conviction and the work of God in somebody. Somehow I thought that I needed to comfort them. But comfort isn't what someone needs sometimes. Sometimes they need conviction, don't they? I know I do. Sometimes I need God to convict me hard and make sure I understand and know what lies ahead for me in that conviction. If that is the way I go, then it shows I was never saved to begin with. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is not going to go in a different way than what God is going, is it? And we are not to go in a different way than what the Spirit is. So often, we don't keep in step with the Spirit. We are off on all these other things, and we're asking God to bless them. Oh, God, bless this. Bless that. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. And in doing so, this verse 26, let us not become conceited. Conceited about what? About how good we are. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, the enemy's going to attack. And the first thing the enemy's going to tell you is you used to be so bad, but now look at you. You are so good now. So we don't want to become conceited where we provoke one another and envy one another, because that leads us back to the flesh. And as I close with this, I want you to see this circle. We're walking in the flesh, which begin to walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us back to what? The flesh, doesn't it? The walking in the Spirit and the pride within us is what leads us back, not the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit causes the eye of man, of the flesh, to notice that we are different. And then comes the praise, which leads us back to the flesh. We got to continue to walk in the Spirit and to keep in step with Him. And folks, it's difficult. It's very difficult. Anyone who tells you it's easy isn't doing anything about it. We have to walk in the Spirit. And to do so, it takes time with God. Brothers and sisters, we, to walk in the Spirit, need to keep in step with the Spirit. Please stand with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close this service today, we want to lift up to you those things that have been preached, those things that have been said, those things in your word, those marks, those bookmarks that have been put in Bibles today, those notes, Lord, may they lead to you. May they lead to your glory. May they show our need to walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit, for your glory's sake. Father, I pray that you speak to these here in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Does your life reflect the Spirit or the flesh? This question is one we all must ask. Of all the things that it's safe to be wrong about, this is not one of them. Beloved, if you look at your life and find that the flesh rules instead of the Spirit of God, then I beg you, run to Christ and repent. Do not hate your own life so much that you'll risk hell for the sake of your stubborn pride. Ask God to forgive. Ask for mercy. You will always find it in Christ when you cry out for it. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send you if you mention it when you write or call. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.